that are visiting, I'm Mark Thompson. I'm part of the leadership team. A lot of you got an email and know that this is what we're calling an installation service. We announced it a few weeks ago. We sent out emails. And thank you guys for showing up today, because this is a big deal service. This is important to us. Alan Sharon are retiring. We're installing Justin Fry as our lead pastor. And so today, that is what we're going to be talking about. What is the workings of God? How God has brought this to pass, and what is he up to, and what are we going to be up to as a family, as this family, this house? And my part is to kind of give my perspective and sort of my part of this journey. And so it won't take very long, but I want to start in Acts 17 with the New International Version. In Acts 17 and verse 22 through 31. So Paul is meeting with these guys in Athens, and they're worshiping all kinds of stuff. And it's not probably so relevant to us, the context of that, but the words that Paul speaks are very relevant. Paul then stood up in the meeting of Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you're very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands, and he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he gives everyone, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history." Isn't that something? "He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us." So I'm kind of really interested in that part about God's marking out the appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God marks out for us time and place. And for me, this is like one of the great mysteries, right, of God, that he puts us where he wants us, but he's also drawing us to have us engage our will, that we might seek him and choose him. See, it's that really mysterious part, and some things you just have to leave to mystery. You know, we can't solve everything. And so the way this is relevant for me in this kind of a thing, we have been talking as leadership team, as an elder team, Al's going to transition. I mean, somehow we realized that Al was going to get old someday, and he would not want to do this forever. Not unlike the song we sang, right? It's not going to. We knew a transition was coming, and we could see it coming for several years because Al would tell us, not because we thought he was getting tired or we thought he was doing a crummy job, but Al would say, "Look, I'm getting ready to transition." So we started talking about it, and Al started talking to me. Because I like people, right? I'm a father. I'm a pastor kind of a guy. I pastor people. I like people, and I like to get up here and rattle. And so it seemed like, well, maybe Mark's the guy. And I thought maybe Mark's the guy, right? We were just start talking about that. And a year ago, we had a significant experience. Al and Justin and I went to a prayer conference in St. Louis, and there was a few significant things that happened. One of the significant things is I and Al set out in the little outside courtyard at La Quinta with our bagels and cream cheese and crummy coffee. And we talked about what are we going to do with our life. And as we talked, I started really like, for the first time in a long time, I started saying, you know what? I like what I'm doing with my life. I like being a counselor. I like working with kids. I like the fact that my kids are with me. And I have two daughters that are still coming through the school. I get emotional just talking about it because it matters to me that I'm with my kids. And I started saying, wait a second, what am I thinking? I need to be with my kids, and there's these other practical things. For you guys that care about this stuff, I get to retire. I get, you know, para. I get money for staying a certain amount of time. I'm getting within this, you know, visual distance of seeing that. if I leave today, I lose lots and lots of money that I would have if I just stayed a few more years. That's not what really drives me, though. But it does matter. God uses circumstances. He uses all this. He puts us in time and place so that we'd seek him and say, what are you up to? What are you up to? And I finally clicked, like, this is my sweet spot where I'm at. I am the best right-hand man you ever saw, right? That's my job. And I'm the guy that supports. I'm the guy that is a big part of the leadership. But I don't want to be the lead pastor. And that was like this really peaceful event. I can't tell you guys, because we've been thinking about this for 7 or 8 years, right now? And it's just like, you know, up and down, in and out. And then when I finally arrived at that, it was, I felt like I am the sweet spot. And I went to school with sort of this renewed vigor. I had this other experience, and I shared this already, but I want to say it again. You know, we met the pastor at this big conference, big church, big conference, nice guy. And he's meeting Al for the first time. He knew Justin already. He meets me. So are you a pastor? Are you in ministry? I go, well, I'm the counselor at the high school. He goes, oh, you pastor the city. And man, that was a word. That wasn't just him rattling. That was like something from the Holy Spirit saying, oh, I pastor the whole city. You know, so I was like, wow, I am in the sweet spot. And so then we're starting thinking differently, and it really encouraged us to think differently about our transition. What are we doing? We have some other young talents, some guys that have anointing, obvious calling, obvious leadership skills. And that was just really, at least in my mind, that was a significant start to what's happening today. It took a year to get from there to here, nearly exactly a year and 2 weeks to get from there to here. And for those that are visiting, you're like, whatever. But those that have been here a while, you get that this is a big deal. Al and Sharon have been here over 25 years. So it's not a little thing to have an installation service and say, this is a big shift. And I believe it's a shift in a good direction. It's the way God's led us. He's appointed the times and places that we might seek him. And man, believe me, we've been seeking him. Right? We have been seeking him. And I believe that God's meeting us. So that's my part of the story, and then I'm going to ask Pastor Al to come up here. He's next on our very informal agenda.
All right. I would like to I would like to invite all the elders and their wife, if they're here, to come and be up in this front row. And if you need to drift over here by Sharon, she would love to have you sit by her. Sharon, I want you to come up, if you would, please, a minute. Yeah. Sharon and I have been doing this for nearly 40 years, pastoral ministry. And several weeks ago, I shared a message with you from Ecclesiastes about Solomon looking at his life. He was coming to the end of his life, and he wasn't in a good place. I'm in a good place with God and with everything that God's doing in my life. And so what he said was, God makes everything beautiful in his time. And we have come. We've agreed, Sharon and I, and we've been working on this, believe it or not, for 7 or 8 years. This isn't just something that's happened overnight. We've been talking about this, this event, this process, this day, for 7 or 8 years. And I remember the elder retreat at Jim Smith's house, where it became a very, very long subject that day. All over an hour we spent on it. And that's been 7 or 8 years ago. And so I just want you to know, this is not something that's just happened overnight. And I'm going to be sharing with you some other details. And so I have to say, though, and it's harder for me than it is for Sharon, because she's never been connected with a church as the lead pastor. She's been the pastor's support and my support and the best one I could have ever, you know. When I married up, way up. Okay, yeah. So, in light of all of this, This is a big day for us because we're shifting gears, not only in pastoral ministry as it relates to Restoration Fellowship, but also as far as life callings and ministry. And thank you, Riley, for those songs, because I am fired up. I am refired. I am not retired. I'm refired. And we are refired. Refired together into a ministry that God's called us to. A couple of weeks ago, we called Chris Hayward, president of Cleansing Stream Ministries, and asked him, how would it be if we would take on the position of a Cleansing Stream missionary? He said, well, we've never had anybody do that. I said, well, what we would do is raise our own support, and we would become RTF Cleansing Stream missionaries, and we would support this whole Rocky Mountain region and go visit churches and get them to build the ministry of Cleansing Stream into their church if they want it. And so we don't even know what that's going to look like yet, but that's what we're going to do. And we don't know anything about being a missionary, but in that sense, we don't, yet we do, because we've been missionaries our whole lives. Yet, so God's calling us into a very, very new place, and it's a very, you'll be hearing a whole lot more about that. So I just wanted Sharon to speak a word.
And you know how spontaneous I am. Let me just say, first of all, I just want to thank you guys for all of your love and your support and your encouragement over the last 25 years. We couldn't have done this without you. You have been there to hold us up, to come alongside us, to love on us in ways that are just unbelievable. And, you know, I have had a lot of people say to me, not from this congregation, but from other places where we go, wow, I'd never want to be a pastor's wife. That's really a difficult place because they're criticized and they're not loved very well. And I look at them and I go, that's not what I've experienced. You guys have loved on me, loved on us in incredible ways, and I just want to thank you for that. Our time here has been absolutely wonderful. And we're not going anywhere. We're going to continue to, this is going to be home base for us. Yes, we are going to reach out as the Lord opens doors and opportunities for us, but we will always be back here. We are still here for you. Whenever you need a shoulder to cry on, we're here. Please know that. We're still pastors. We're still your mom and dad, okay? But do you know what really struck me this morning is that, and we talk a lot about this in our Deep Freedom Ministry group, our discipleship group, but what hit me this morning is that, you know, as God does things through us and builds and develops fruit that we can see, we begin to see that our ceiling is the next generation's floor. And that's what we're releasing today, that what we have built, our ceiling, now the next generation can take as their floor and begin to build upward on that. And it's exciting. We're going to pray for that. We're excited about the transition. So thank you, guys.
So I took a couple of days to be by myself and God, and took our RV out to Big Meadow Campground. I don't know how many of you have ever been to Big Meadow. It's just on the other side of the tunnel. You make a left, you go back in there. And the camp spot that I had was awesome. And I was out there by myself, and it overlooked Big Meadow Reservoir. And I was looking down over it, and this is the first thing I saw. Across the lake on the other side, the mountains that go up there to the northwest, there was a lot of standing dead beetle kill. That hurt just to see that. But then I looked down, and right in front of my camp spot, there were little cones with little trees planted in it. Thousands of those cones. New growth. And everything in the natural always has a spiritual connection. One of the things, and this is an observation that the Lord immediately gave to me when I saw that as I was setting up camp, In our world today, there's a lot of standing dead. Still standing, but dead. And if there is not a resurrection connection with the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, like Riley was leading us in worship, where that reignition of the fire of God comes on us, unless that happens, those standing dead will fall over. Yeah. So that's the exhortation this morning. If God, for whatever reason, is convicting you, I may not be dead yet, but I'm pretty close. Standing dead. No, don't let yourself go there. Attract yourself to in worship and prayer to the resurrection power of God, and He will lift you up. And don't let the beetle kill. Don't let the spiritual beetle kill get your life. Don't let it. That's your choice. That's your choice. Yeah. So how did we get to this point? Well, as already been mentioned, back 2007, 2008, we started really seriously talking about it. You've heard Mark's testimony. And then I want to pick up to St. Louis, July 2014, just a year ago. It was a prayer and worship conference that Justin and Mark and I were attending at Jim Stern's church, Destiny Church. Awesome place. And one of the evenings, one of the speakers was Billy Humphrey. Billy Humphrey is the director for House of Prayer Atlanta. Is that right, Justin? And he was speaking that evening. Powerful young man of God. And incidentally, speaking of young man, I was talking to Justin. He's 33 years old. I was 29 when I started my first pastorate as lead pastor. And I was reminded, Justin, this morning, if he goes 25 years or if he goes 33 years, he'll be as old as I am today. So let's determine right now that through this next season of life, you're going to put just as much support and encouragement into him and Tara as you did into Sharon and I. Can you agree with that? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to see 33 years, Justin. I want to see you do 33 more years right here, and it won't be shoeing horses. Okay. All right, so it was that evening Billy Humphrey was speaking. And what he was speaking about is he spoke from Psalm 132, and Psalm 132, I won't go to it right now, but it's a psalm that reflects on giving honor to his father David and all that David did to prepare him for his day. And I'm not going to turn to that, but I am going to turn to 1 Chronicles 28. First Chronicles 28, Scott, and verse 9. This is David speaking to his son. He says, "And as for you, my son, Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents and the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." I want to speak that to you, Justin. I'm going to personalize it for you. "As for you, Justin, my son," yes, my son in the faith, I've called you that many times, know God your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind." Yes, a loyal heart and a willing mind. You can read the rest. I don't need to repeat it. And I know one of the things that's in your heart is the legacy that we have laid here with worship and prayer, prayer and worship. Two sides of the same coin. And I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage you, body, always come prepared to worship, because worship is the focus of everything we will do. And as we worship, and as we bring our worship, what does God do during worship? What does God do during worship? He gives revelation. God reveals things to you as you worship corporately and as you give it back to Him. And then He gives you personal assignments so that when you leave here during the week, you're ready to serve. And then the other side to that is prayer, intercession. The house of prayer that we've established here in the city is not a mistake. And the whole atmosphere and attitude of prayer is going to continue in this place. I started this message of prayer and worship and prayer back in 1994. 4 years after we started here, I did a series on worship and prayer, and that launched us into where we are at with that whole message today. Anyway, so we were at this prayer conference. Billy Humphrey is speaking on this whole subject of recalling. Solomon is recalling David's heritage. Somehow, during that whole message, I noticed that Justin was getting slammed by the Holy Spirit. Justin had just been offered to go for an interview for a pastorate in Illinois. That was in Illinois, right? And it was an incredible opportunity for him. I don't want to go into all the details, but he shared with me before we had gone on this trip that he was struggling with knowing whether or not he should go for this interview to be the pastor of this great organization under a huge leadership and a tremendous opportunity for him. But he said, but Al, my heart's really not there. My heart's in Pagosa. My heart's with you guys. I said, well, okay. He had no idea what God was going to do. Here's what happened. And I'm going to quote. I took copious notes that night. I had my computer with me. I sat in the back of the auditorium because I can't write very well anymore, as some of you know. And I had my computer with me. I had to plug it in. And I was taking copious notes. And at the bottom of Billy Humphrey's message, these two paragraphs I wrote. And I dated it. July the 10th, which was Sharon's birthday, by the way. July the 10th, 2014, I said, Mark shared with me that he will probably not be the man to step in lead pastor position, but would remain as support and encourager to fulfill the call of God for our church and city. That's exactly what Mark told me that the day before, and I wrote it down. That the next day, the evening of July the 11th, when Billy Humphrey gave his message on Solomon and David, Justin was deeply touched, and this is what I wrote. Justin was deeply touched. I sensed that whatever mantle is on me was to be passed to him in a double, triple, quadruple portion. If that means he stays in Pagosa Springs, that is up to God. But our vision to be carried out on young men like him, no matter where he goes for this generation, I wanted him to be blessed with my mantle. But if God could be pleased, he would stay with us in Pagosa Springs. So you see, in that context, I had no prethought or forethought that Justin was going to be taking the position of lead pastor in this church. Nothing. That wasn't even in my mind. Fact is, I want to say this. In my flesh, I would have preferred that this day would have been postponed to January 1 for a number of reasons. The main reason being because Tara can't be here. Tara's in pregnancy, and she is one sick girl when she's pregnant. And so she's back in Iowa getting treatment so she can make it through this pregnancy. You see, by January 1, she could have been over the hump and she could have witnessed this today and been here with us. But there were other circumstances developing behind the scenes and some demands that were being made. And it was like, you know what? It's not worth it. We got to do this now. We got to do this now. And so what I did, here's what I did. Billy Humphrey gave the invitation. Justin was one of the first ones to go up there. Mark was sitting back, just contemplating, praying and worshiping. And this invitation thing was going on for 30, 45 minutes, nearly an hour. And I went up and I knelt down beside Justin, and he was weeping, not knowing what God wanted him to be or do. Take this opportunity in Illinois or stay in Pagosa Springs or other things. And I knelt down beside him and I said, Justin, I don't know. I don't know what God's doing in your heart. I don't know what God's doing in your heart. Whether you stay or whether you go, it doesn't make any difference to me apart from the will of God. I want God's will in your life. And God is saying to me right now, He has commanded me, has given me orders. I don't know about you, but when you get orders from God, you know you got orders from God. God is giving me orders to transfer the mantle with double, triple, quadruple portion upon you, whatever I have had, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, it's yours. Be blessed, my friend. And we hugged and we wept together, not knowing that this day was coming. Yeah. I want you to know that this moment is not manipulated by us. We came back from St. Louis, and through process of time, we had a couple of elders that retired, and we needed some more elders, so we had application for elders. And Justin had made the choice, no, he's not going to Illinois, he's going to stay here, not knowing what the future was going to be. And long story short, we know what happened. He became one of our elders. And now we have this today. And again, that's another reason why I wanted to postpone this to January 1, because I wanted to be able to spend another 6 months with him one-on-one, just ministering into his life, preparing him for what possibly was coming. And when we as elders, and guys, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, first of all, for standing with us, standing with me and Sharon, but also for seeing the hand of God beginning to move in this direction. We are totally, I want you to know, church, we are totally, as elders, 100% in agreement in seeing the hand of God move through this. This is not some quick overnight dream. No, this has taken some time. All right, my time is gone. But a couple of other illustrations from Scripture. Moses to Joshua. I got to turn there. Joshua chapter 1. And this was given to me when I started in ministry. And so I'm giving it to you right now, Justin. And I'm sure you've been given this passage of Scripture yourself many times. But I want to review it for you right now in becoming lead pastor. It says, after the death of Moses, chapter 1, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead now, therefore, I'm not dead, okay? I'm more alive than you know. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people to the land that I give to you. Justin, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. And what I'm saying to you right now, as lead pastor of Restoration Fellowship Church, every place that you place your foot in this city and other places, God has promised to give to you. I'll never forget a number of years ago when we had the Terra Mandela, the Tibetan what is it called? Monastery developed south of town. And they were going to take over the hot springs downtown. God laid it on my heart to do prayer walks often. Some of you don't even know this. But I did prayer walks around the hot springs. in that whole area. And God told me, every place you put your foot, I am giving it to you. That's not just for me. That's for all of us. But Justin, take it over. Go from there. Lead from there. And then he says, no man, verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, as God says, as I was with Al, so I am with you. And I will be with you, and I will not leave you or forsake you. So Justin, be strong. Be of good courage. For the people, for this people shall divide an inheritance of the land which I swore to my fathers to give them. Only be strong. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law. In other words, the word of God, which Moses, which the prophets, which the apostles had given to us. And I'll put that in there. From the right hand, don't turn to the right or to the left. Stay right on course. Stay close to the word. Stay close to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And God will make you strong and keep you strong. For have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's my word to you, Justin and Tara. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. One more. Paul to Timothy. Paul to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is so important for me. And I'm going to speak this directly to you, Justin, again. I charge you, Justin, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who judge the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. And I will say, teach the word. You're a teacher. You're a teacher by gift. Teach the word. Teach the word. Teach the word. Be ready in season. When it is convenient, when it is not. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long sufferings. Those are important words. I'm not going to go into the detailed explanation of them. Study them on your own. For the time will come when they, the people, will be like standing dead. Okay? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires and because they want itching ears, just satisfy their itching ears, they will heap upon themselves teachers to satisfy their itching ears. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. But you, Justin, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, and there'll be plenty of them. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And then Paul said this, and this is where I identify. For I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering. I'm ready to step in. Sharon and I are ready to step into this next season. For the time of my departure is at hand. And for Paul, I think he was talking about the departure of stepping into the presence of the Lord. I am not looking at that from that perspective. I'm not. So, the last thing I want to mention for you, Justin, is to develop your shepherding gifts. Develop your pastor's heart. I know pastoring doesn't necessarily come natural for you, but it can be learned. It can be learned. It can be learned, and you will learn it. I've watched you, and through some of the troubles that we've gone through in the last 6 months, I've watched you step in and pastor people that needed pastoring. Yeah, and that was important to me to see, very important to me to see. So carry on the legacy, the city of destination, the city of prayer, the church of prayer, deliverance and healing. Have a world vision for missions and discipleship in the Word of God. Don't stop now. Just bigger, better, more expanded into God's kingdom. Now I want to give an exhortation to the church. Hebrews 13. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I'm just going to mention two verses of Scripture, verse 7 and verse 17. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. And then he goes into an explanation of what that means. Then verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Rank under their authority, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy. Let Justin lead as a leading pastor with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Here's the thing. Sharon and I are very, very, very pleased to say that for the most part, these 25 years, you have done that. You've been there for us. You've encouraged us. But I want to say this. I took this verse of Scripture very, very, very serious when I began pastoring. That I, one day, will have to stand before God, before Jesus Christ at the Bema Seat, and give an account for how I have, that's what the verse of Scripture says, I must give an account to God concerning you and how I led you and how I encouraged you and how I pastored you. Yeah. So it's not an easy thing. It's a very, 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 very sobering task. And it's impossible for Justin to be able to lead as lead pastor, and the elders know this, and every Monday morning, when we come together to pray and as we seek out the Lord for the steps of direction that He's given to us, we are doing this together. We're still a team ministry. Yes, we're continuing the lead pastor position, only it's not me. Okay? So God bless you all. God bless you, Justin. God bless you, elders, as we continue to work together. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here. We're staying here. Okay, Justin.
This is weighty, huh? I don't get rattled very often. I get emotional. I cry a lot, but I don't get rattled inside. I'm generally pretty even keel guy. I don't get excited. And I am all stirred up today. I'm just all over the place with my heart and my emotions. I am so honored, overwhelmed, humbled by this, just to look out across this room and see people that have come up to me personally and said, man, I am for you to be a leader to me. And I just, it's humbling, it's honoring. Thank you. What do you say? I wish I had some really powerful statement. One of the things I will say is this. I dreaded taking a pastoral position. I've had two or three offers. Al mentioned the one major one just in this last year. It was very surprising to me. And now I know the Lord was absolutely speaking to me, huh? But I didn't want to step into a place as a leader to a people that did not know me, to people that I had no history with. And I couldn't imagine trying to be in an authoritative leadership place with them and gain friends that I could run with in God. And as I was sitting there, I was just thinking of how grateful I am that I'm running with my friends. You know, and I think there's many churches that they kind of put out an application and you apply and you come, you do an interview, and that's very, very common. And I'm just so grateful that I get to step in and I already have history. I've already have, you know, a circle of people that speak into my life. We already have trust. We already have relationship. And how healthy this is to be able to do this for me and my wife and hopefully for you guys. But I'm just so thankful for that. And I have a few things the Lord has put on my heart that I just want to say, you know, as just far as I've resolved to do a few things as lead guy. And I didn't need to write them down. They're so heavy on me. So I just want to say them to you, and I want you to hold me to these things. I want to be one that is transparent with you guys, that hears you, and that you have an open door to come to me with whatever, with trust and with openness. And so I resolve these things to you to hold me to them. Number one, I resolve to put my family before my ministry. I resolve to be transparent with you. I resolve to stay humble. Lord, help me. And I resolve to preach boldly the truth at all times. I resolve to seek wisdom, to seek counsel from many of you in this room are to me ones that I go to, and what do you think about this, and how do you feel? And I really need wisdom and counsel. I need help. And I just resolve to seek that out. And then finally, I resolve to do this for as long as I'm called to do it. And we're going to let the Lord sort that out. And one of the things that he impressed upon me is, you know, you step into something like this, and there's kind of a weight to it that, you know, this is something that is going to go on for a long time. I hope that's the case. But I'm open to the Lord in his seasons and his times. And I know for a fact, and we all know for a fact as a leadership team, this is right for this season. There may come a day when it's not. And I'm open to that. I'm open to the Lord's leadership in everything. And so I resolve to do this diligently, faithfully, for as long as the Lord has me doing this here. As long as he allows me to do it, and as long as you guys are with me. And those are my resolutions that I have just said to the Lord so many times, but I wanted to say them to you as I stepped into this morning. And I know that we wanted to allow for some of the elders to say a few things, and then I think we're just going to lay hands on. And I want to just open up the door to you guys. There's some of you that I don't know very well. This first season that I'm in here, I want to get to know all of you better. I'm going to be taking time to try to sit down with each of you to feel out, you know, how we're doing. And one of the things that we need to be aware of, though this is healthy, this is a healthy installation and a very healthy transfer, it's still, this is going to be a season where we're going to have to heal as a body. I mean, this is going to be a big change, and that's changing of reality that's been in place for so long. I understand that some of us inside, we're not going to be able to really, you know, step into this season with new leadership, and, you know, until we've just kind of processed with the Lord for a while. I get that. I'm there too. But I just want to be, I really want to get to know you guys, and I really want to hear from you. Bob, I'm going to pick on you just because I really like you. But I went and sat down with Bob. It's the first time I ever really sat down and talked to him. And it was a few weeks ago, and I said, Bob, I want you to be totally honest with me. And he looked at me and he goes, are you sure? And I'm sure. I want you to be totally honest with me. And I want you to be totally honest with this leadership team. How you're doing and where you're at. And how can we help this transition be healthy? And again, I'm just, I'm rattled, so I know I'm kind of all over the place. But I was trying to compare this moment. And I've had a few moments where it's just there was a lot building up to this one day. And I have, honestly, I've not felt this kind of disoriented emotionally. I'm not nervous isn't the right word. You guys know what I'm talking about. My wedding day. I mean, that's the only thing I can compare it to. It's just this strange, overwhelming, emotional time. And I'm feeling that right now. And I'm just so blessed. I'm so thankful. I'm so honored and humbled by you guys. So, amen. I'm going to invite you guys up. Greg, did you want to? I see you got your iPad. You're all set.
Well, I didn't have a whole lot to say other than I just wanted to lend Justin my support. And I've known Justin, I don't know, since you, before you got here, a while. And I was introduced to Justin through my good friend Wes Martin. And so anyway, I just want to throw my encouragement behind it. And you know, I have been very blessed to be one of the people that Justin confides in from time to time and asks questions, and I look at that as a real honor. But just want to encourage you all that, as Al has said and as Mark has spoken, this was not a last minute deal. This was not, you know, and I think you all know that. But this is something that's been we've been in. Lots of prayer about, and but I've seen Justin in the outside the body as well, you know. And we all, you know, it's not a bad thing. We all put on our happy face when we're at church, and you know, when we're doing the things of the Lord and all that stuff. But I've also seen Justin in the trenches, and you know, how do you handle an irate client that's all upset, and you know, you didn't really do anything wrong, and, you know, stressful things like that. And, you know, a few years ago, I went through with him and Tara the loss of their baby. And, you know, I would say that one event above all others just really linked my heart to Justin and Tara and how they, did they do it perfectly? No, but they went through that time with a desire to honor God and to handle the situation in a way that honored the Lord. And I was blessed enough to be right in the middle of it. You know, Justin, and thank you for it, Justin, he called me and asked me to kind of run cover for him while this, you know, this whole event was going on. And so in that process, I got to know parents and on both sides, and I don't think you can get a more intense time. I mean, we've all been there, you know, when everything in your life seems like it's going down the tubes, but you choose to make a stand for God, and you choose to walk through it in a manner that would honor the Father. And I saw that in Justin and Tara, and boy, when you can get to know somebody in a hard emotional situation like that, you really are getting down to bedrock. And so anyway, I just, I affirm this. I'm very excited about it. And, you know, we all got to walk through and work this all out. But I think it'll be good. It'll be very good. And I stand behind Justin and Tara wholeheartedly.
Alan, Sharon, I want to personally say thank you. I don't know where I'd be if it weren't for your ministry. Thank you. And there's a whole host of other faces that I see out here that God has touched your life through Alan Sharon. And we say thank you. Yeah. And I believe that the best thing that we can do for Alan Sharon right now is to continue to move forward into all that they've led us through. And to see the kingdom of God come to this place the way that they have desired. If you look at Scripture, so many times what you see is that somebody started something and built it, and God worked through them. But then the next generation took it to the next level, as there already has been mentioned here this morning. And I believe that that's what God wants to do. You see, really, not much is changing because Jesus is still the head of the church. So the only thing that's changing is who's in direct contact with Him. And really, that's not changing that much either, because the whole elder board's still the same. And so, I guess maybe it's just because my name's David. I'm sitting there thinking about how many times David in the Old Testament rallied the troops. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, it's time to stand up. It's time to fight. It's time to get behind Justin and the rest of the leadership and carry forward the message that Alan Sharon has been giving us. To move forward into the fullness of what God desires to do. And so the best thing that we can do is to get behind what God's doing and see the fulfillment of the hopes and dreams that God has given Alan Sharon, to see that come all the way to full fruition. And so I am challenging you to continue and to step into and to move forward with whatever God is laying on your heart. The ministry that God wants you to step into. The areas of people around you that God wants you to minister to. I want to see you begin to do that. Because there's no way that one man can do it all. Alan Sharon knows that. Justin knows that. We as the elder team know that. We need you. We need you to step into those areas of ministry that God's calling you to. So I just want to encourage you this morning to step in. Listen, hear God's voice, get the revelation, and step in to what God's calling you to do.
Yeah, I could just repeat everything that everybody said. It was exactly the same thing that I was thinking. You know, Al and I came to Pagosa, you know, 25 years ago or so, and I met Al sometime around 1993, somewhere in there. And, you know, and we became friends, and we've been friends for, you know, this 20-some years and continuing on, which is an amazing thing. We just love these guys. And, you know, and we're just excited, man, you know, we're busted up inside because then this guy comes along, and I'm like, who's this 33-year-old cowboy dude? What does he think? You know, what comes from Kansas and, you know, and all this. But, you know, the deal was is that that was just because, you know, I didn't really know Justin. And, you know, and so now we're just fired up, man. We're excited for the future because, you know, we feel like, and you know, we made a covenant with Al years and years ago, and we stand on that covenant. Well, guess what? That covenant continues with Justin. And so we're there, you know, we in like the vows that we took at our wedding, you know, good, the bad, we're taking it all, and we're just going to go with it. And so, hey, God is good. He's a consuming fire. You know, bless His name. That's what we're going to do. And we're fired up and excited about it. You going to wrap this up a little bit here, Mark, with the laying on of hands and this little ceremony? Do we have a crown or a robe?
We have like a robe.
We haven't actually worked this out exactly, but I'm gonna think we're gonna have Justin come up, and all the elders and our spouses who love to get called up spontaneously to the front. Once you guys all come up, and we're gonna invite you guys to stand, and as many as you want. I think you're welcome. Come on up here. If you want to come up front, it's a pretty big area up here. We got some room. And I think we're all going to pray, but we're going to have, Al's going to do what we call the grand finale. All right. And we're all going to spend some time praying. So I'm going to start, and the word that comes to me is gratefulness. Man, we're grateful, Lord. We're grateful for a man that says yes to you. We're grateful that you have looked at this fellowship, at this family, at this house, and you have said that I'm leading you through to the gifting and the calling that I've set for you. I'm leading you into destiny. I'm leading you into the future. And, you know, God, you're so good to us. You gave us an apostolic leader in Al, and you have really brought phenomenal change, and you've set us on a great path, and you continue to lead us, Lord. And we are so grateful for Justin, Lord. We're so grateful for his gifting. We're so grateful mainly for his heart that says yes to you at all times. And Lord, we're just saying that we are here. Lord, we are here together, that we stand together, we run together. Lord, and we are just helping to bear the burden, Lord. We believe the scripture, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. And so we say, oh, we are here to bear burdens together as we see your destiny fulfilled here in Pagosa Springs through this fellowship called Restoration Fellowship, Lord. We just speak that in Jesus' name. Amen,
Lord. Father, I just pray blessings over Al and Sharon as they step into what you're calling them into. I pray your peace over them, your comfort, your direction, your wisdom. God, you've been faithful in giving them revelation, and we know that you're going to continue that because you are a faithful God. And so, Father, we also just pray over Justin and Tara. Pray over Tara especially right now, that you would just calm all of that stuff going on, that your peace would come over her right now. And God, we just pray for Justin that he would continue to get revelation from you, and that your word, you would truly be, that God, our desire is that you be the head of our church. We desire that you lead us into all things. And we know that Justin's eyes is on you. And so, God, we just are excited about what you're doing. And we just pray your covering over Justin right now, that you would protect him, guard his mind, his heart, and just give him clear revelation to step out into all that you're calling us to do. In Jesus' name.
Yes, and Father, we do sense your presence here, Father. We do. We just sense that you just have this idea that this is good. This is the good thing. This is a good thing to do, the right thing to do. And so, Father, we just stand on that word, and we just go forward. We look forward to the future, but we're excited about the present also. And we just give thanks in Jesus' name.
Father, I ask you to touch this heart in a way that it's never been touched before. Father, we are the sheep of your pasture, and you designate our goings and our comings, and you have led this man here, and you have appointed him to be our pastor. And I ask you, Father, to put the heart of Jesus in my brother, Justin. I ask you to fill his heart with the compassion that your son had, to let him see his flock in every situation as you would see them. Father, I ask you to give him something that no man has without your presence. And that's the love of God for his brothers and his sisters. I thank you, Father, that we know your word. We know that you will never leave us or forsake us, that you supply our needs, and on we know, Father. But we have to ask for your heart. And I speak that over him right now. In Jesus' name.
Lord, as I was standing here, felt like you dropped into my heart that what you said in John 15, when you said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I chose you to go bear fruit. I chose you to go bear abundant fruit. So, Lord, I thank you for that promise for Justin and Tara, for this congregation, for this fellowship, this family. I thank you that you have chosen us to go and bear fruit for you. And it's not us trying to muster up that fruit, but that as we abide in you, you produce that fruit through us. So, Father, I thank you for the fruit that is coming. I thank you for what you're going to do. And I thank you that you reminded me that Jesus began his ministry at 33. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we come before you today, and as David prayed over Solomon, be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. And Father, I say the same thing. Be strong and courageous and do it.
Justin, I'm going to do something as a symbol of passing the baton. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the cap to this bottle of oil.
Okay.
Because in a few minutes, the bottle's going to be empty. And as I pray, I'm going to pray exactly what God commanded me to pray when I knelt beside you in St. Louis, Missouri, at Destiny Church. Father God, right now, I anoint Justin Fry with the anointing of the double, triple, quadruple blessing of the mantle that you have placed on me to be pastor of Restoration Fellowship and lead elder. I put that upon him. I place that upon him right now, that mantle of your presence as the oil runs down through his beard and drips on to his shirt and onto his clothes. Let it be a symbol to him of the solemnness of this moment. Yes, God. But it's not about me. It's not about him. It's about you.
Amen.
And so, Father God, right now, I speak with all the power and authority and place of responsibility you have given to me to place upon Justin dreams, visions, to bring it forth, bring forth the kingdom in Pagosa Springs so that the nations will continue to be touched through us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so, Justin, every time I'm going to give you this bottle and every place it somewhere where you're going to see it often and be reminded, the baton has been passed to you. The anointing is upon you. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Seek after God and you will find him.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen and amen. I'm going to ask Benny Lohman to come in here. Bob, are you up here? No, Bob's not here. Benny's representing the oldest member
of Restoration Fellowship that was here when I came 25 years ago, and so was Bob, and they were here before I came, and it's so good to see them standing with us together in this moment. Thank you, Benny. Thank you, Bob. Thank you for others who were here when I came, and bless you.
Al.
Amen.
I said to Justin, we're going to support him as we've stayed with Al and Sharon.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you.